and the God whom we serve. Title of this message today is called Remember the Boys. Can I ask you a question? Why do we gather? Why do we do this? You know, we as a little boy said, we did it because we're supposed to. Well, I understand that. Why do we tell these stories? Now, you know this story already. You know the basics of this story. Why do we tell these stories? Why do we sing this song? Why do we do it this way? The quick answer is because God said to do it. God was the first parent that answered back by saying, because I said so. But because God said to do so. But the deeper answer revolves around the fact that God knows what it does for us. He knows what it does to us. He knows what it does in us. When we gather, he said, do not forsake that. When we read these stories, tell them over to your kids, it says. When we sing these songs, sing unto the new Lord a new song. When we sing a song, God inhabits the praise. When we do these things, it glorifies God. He knows that. It builds our faith. He knows that. It encourages us. He knows that. It builds maturity, and it builds a godly perspective. And you know something? Statistics prove, secular statistics even prove, it makes you feel better. It makes you feel better. It's there. Now, what you have there, you have the simple list, the cue list that they'll have up there, that, and you'll be able to, so you'll find points. So I won't be reading for a moment yet, but you can get your pen ready, and we'll do it together in just a minute. Today, the message is called Remember the Boys. I was going to call it Getting Faith from a Furnace, but I think Remember the Boys is good because remember is a good word. Linda had no idea that I would be talking about remembering the things God has done. David was real big on that. Remember what he has done. He has done great, marvelous things. Remember, and why do we remember? Remember I said it gets in us. It's a part of our lives. Well, today we're back in the same concept, and we're in the war. And the war has always been real. Maybe you've not been affected by it in your life the way you're being affected now. So this is not new. It's just that it is affecting you and me in a different way. Evil has always been there. It's always been, the war has always been real. But now many see it. We're reminded of evil, and we have been staggered by the parallels of the story that we've read now for going into the third week about the boys. You know the word in verse 17 in chapter 3. He says, if, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. How many of you have you reminded yourself of that for the last 3 weeks now? I think we all have. And the next thing, and the emphatic thing in the next three, four, the next four words, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But look at verse 18. If you're following, this is the New Living. If you're following the apps on your phone or something like that, New Living Translation. He said, but if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, in verse 18, but even if, that is driving back around to emphasize the point. You got it? This is huge. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it real clear to you, we will never serve your God, nor will we ever worship the gold statue that you have set up. Boy, what a story. It scares you to death as you read it, especially when you're a little kid. You're reading that, man. What kind of Christian is this? Man, they're getting thrown in furnaces. Lions are coming after them. Giants are trying to cut their heads off. I mean, you want me to do this? No, I can't. No, I don't know. I got to pray about that right now. But when I look at these brave young men, I get an example. Why do we remember the stories? It helps build my faith, as I said. It encourages me, and as I see it. And when we are dealing with evil, here's the thing you need to remember this. Evil will always seek to dominate. Evil will always seek to control. Evil will always seek to demand submission. You have to know this. I hope you're getting this. Haven't you said this? I've said it over and over. Goes on, the story says Nebuchadnezzar was went nuts. He was unhinged. He was unrestrained in his response. And here's the thing that I think the reason I'm telling you a lot of the stories over and over. Stop being surprised into paralysis when you see evil. Stop saying I don't believe it. Believe it. It's worse than we ever imagined. See, we spoke about something today. It's a tendency, especially for church people, especially America people, Christians, a lot of times we've lived an unaffected life on a lot. We've all had heartaches, we've all had struggles, but compared, you know, we've not dealt with some of these things right now. And now people are shocked. No, it has always been that way. It has now been emboldened. It's braver. And there are other things involved there. And sometimes we get so surprised, we get paralyzed. You know, people say, well, did you do anything when that emergency happened? And, well, I got afraid. I didn't know what to do. You've seen people, they get frozen when they get afraid. Don't get frozen in your spirit when you see extreme evil. Don't get frozen. Don't get so shocked that you cannot respond. How many have ever been in a situation, even if it was a conversation, and you came back later as you replayed it in your head, and you say, man, I wish I'd have said so-and-so, but I froze for a minute. I didn't say, the freezing, stop freezing, because you need to remember this. Don't get paralyzed. Evil never gives ground. Evil never stops. Don't be paralyzed. Don't be surprised, because that is the inherent nature of evil, to control. Well, you know, the story picks up and it goes on. And in verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar looks in. He said, I see four men. We tied them up, but they're unbound right now. They're walking around the fire, and I love the word there, unharmed. And then he says, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. That's the other translations adds that line there. In fact, the verbiage is really, and he looks like the Son of God. Do you know that even evil, when they're smacked, there's something that goes off inside of them and they realize, hey, this is different. Paul's walking down the street. The word says he's breathing threats. He's breathing slaughters. In his belt, he has the orders that says it's okay for him to kill Christians. It's okay for him to drag them out of their homes and make them submit. And something hit him and knocked him down. Oh, Lord, who is it? He wasn't quite sure what it was, but he knew it was bigger than what the power that he had. So we left last week when he said the fourth man, he looks like the Son of God. I'd love to make an announcement to you right now. The fourth man still lives. And the fourth man, while you're even walking in evil times, he's still with you. Whether it's a fire, whether it's an affliction, whether you're in a hospital room together and you're not by yourself, you are never alone. Even Jesus last week, before he was getting crucified, he said, I am never alone. My Father is with me. I hope that resonated with inside. Well, he calls them out, and you know what happened. And he brings them out, and Nebuchadnezzar was so typical of leaders, well, all leaders through the historic times. He brings them out, and he even addressed them, servant of the Most High God. Now, he was one of these guys that cut his losses quick to save his backside, and that's part of the job description. These guys all did come out here, and they all looked, and they weren't singed. They didn't even smell like it. The hair was fine, and then Nebuchadnezzar, and I think it's in verse 28, he says this: praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, a naive Christian would have said, isn't this wonderful? Nebuchadnezzar is saved. He's met God. He sang a Christian song. He said Christian things. He sent out a posting that was Christian. But was he Christian? No. Had he been changed? No. You shouldn't judge people. Yes, I am going to judge people, because the fruit of what he produced then and later proved that he was not turning as a child of God. But he said, praise the God. He sent his angel to rescue his servants, and they defied the king. In other words, it sounded like he's bowing and demeaning him himself. And they were willing to die than to serve or worship any god but their God. Sounds like somebody was caught in a lie right here, and he's tap dancing. So verse 29, therefore I make a decree. By the way, evil will always try to gain ownership for something. It will always try to gain ownership for something. They will claim it for themselves. Property, people, business, your money, your house right now. That's going to happen. They want to take your house away from you. You're not supposed to own anything. But the people making those orders right now, they're going to be well off for the rest of their lives. That's evil. Don't be surprised. Let's figure out how we can fight it. He calls them and he says, I tell you what, I'm going to make a law now. Again, submission, control, conformity, bring everybody under one thing. But there is still a leader there always. If any people, whatever their race, their nation, their language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. That dramatic language, that's verse 29, I believe, if you're following along in the scripture. Their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There's no God. So typical, but so familiar. And put your radar up. This is not good. It's not the word of the Lord. The motives are bad. So here we are in the story as it goes on. History proved his heart was not real. His conversion was not to the God of Israel. Like other kings, he was just protecting himself. I said, what is this? What is this thing that just in the first part of a chapter, you're going to do this or I'm going to throw you in the furnace? Or at the end of the chapter when he saw something that was more powerful than him, instead of understanding and wanted to know about it, he just claimed ownership of it and tried to paint a new fence around it and put a different color sign on it, but it's still the control situation. And I said, what? And here's the two words I came out with. Demonic schizophrenia. You got that? Demonic schizophrenia. That's really what that is, because that was a demon doing that. They tried to scare him. They tried to bribe them. Remember that? The reason? They tried to guilt them. They tried to shame them. Then they tried to blame them. Then they tried to cancel them. And then they wanted to fire them because he cared. Because he cared. Any connections in the house today? They tried to scare these boys, bribe them, guilt them, shame them, blame them, cancel them, and fire them. And on top of it, he went further in his charade by promoting them. But why do I go back over this story? I've touched on elements of this story now for the third week because it helps to remember. It helps to bring it forth in our minds. I have to tell you, I left here last Sunday, and I'll tell you, there's a sweet touch of God's anointing and worship and power in the room. And everybody, you know, sometimes it's not always the case. I mean, you're doing great today, but there are sometimes that it's very, very special and you feel something a little bit different. And people that of texting and calling and things like that, man, what a day that was. Man, I tell you, that was really, really good. Let me be very honest with you. I would venture to say, Christians say venture to say instead of I bet you, all right? But I bet you by Tuesday, most of you forgot that word. You forgot the anointing of it. You forgot the feeling of it. And the further you got from it and the further you had other things that led you into some sort of paralysis when the evil came there, that message got further away. That's why on a regular basis I need to remind myself. Why do you think we read those last year and a half ago? Moses in those five books, how many times did he say, write it on your hand, tell your kids, bind it around your neck, tell them the stories. Why? Because you might leave here today and yeah, he's going to take me through the fire again. But by Tuesday afternoon, that is so far from where you're living right now in your head, and you are seeing everything and you're just coming apart. I needed to be reminded of it. I couldn't, by Wednesday, I might have had a hard time telling you exactly everything I had to say on the Sunday before. And that's me, and I wrote most of it. So I can't presume that you would hang on every little word there. You face things. We were very happy Sunday, but most of us lost the glow by Tuesday, I wrote. It's a good word for today, though. It will be a good word for tomorrow, and it'll be a good word for the next day. So how do I start? I need a hook. I need my friend Jerry Lucas wrote in his memory methods, and he used concepts of the link system and hooking things together. You want to start, remember? I'll tell you how to start right off out the bat. Remember the boys. Remember the boys. Remember the boys. Remember the boys, what they did, how they walked. Remember, these were good-looking guys, man. They had everything. I mean, but they remembered God, and I'm gonna prove that in just a few minutes from right now. Remember the boys, then connect it. Remember their God. Remember, don't be afraid. And remember, I left you with this one statement last week, and it would be written on the board if you were here today. Their God is your God too. Their God is your God too. I need to remind myself of that. I need, when I remember the boys, that's a link that I'm, their God is my God too. Some may say, though, I can't be strong. I can't do that. I'm a new Christian, maybe. or maybe I'm shy. I don't know what to say. I this is kind of a small, I mean, I'm just a small pawn in this thing that God, and I'm shy and I'm alone in my family or I have a lot of struggles. I don't know what to say. And maybe I've got to come to a certain time that I've known the word long enough and mature in the word, or even something like Tyler. No, he's not too young to stand and speak the word. You're not too old to stand and speak the word. You know, when you talk about Daniel, remember the boys, the three boys. Do you know that most of them were between the ages of 15 and 19? They were still in their late teens. But as teens, they had purposed in their heart to obey God. They stood. So how old do you think you have to be to serve God? How old do you have to be to stand for the purposes of God? How old do you think you have to be to stand against a war that's coming against you? How old? It's as long as you stand on the word, you are of age right at that point. The Bible is filled with young people that as young people and even teenagers, like Joseph, Josiah, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course Samuel. Samuel was used by God before he was even a teen. And God used, so age has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with you saying, I'm going to take the word that the boys remembered. I'm going to stand on that, and you can be as strong as they are. You say, well, I don't have much to say. You know, or maybe we're just a small group of folk today. Both Testaments gave me encouragement. Zechariah 4 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And the Lord rejoices when you take each step. And it may be a small affirmation that you make, a small commitment. 2 Timothy, the word to the young boy. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. But at any age, guys, you can be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Is that strong? So that tells me you don't have to wait until you have enough courage to stand a fire. Just have enough courage just to face a stiff wind. Enough courage to stand up and say, I can speak these things. Be blessed right now. When we remember the boys, it begins by remembering the word like the boys remembered. It's a great writer that Linda and I follow. His name is Virgil Walker. Virgil Walker he said it this way, the circumstances of our world today do not require new programs. Well, all right, stop right there. Nor do they require new policies. What was Nebuchadnezzar trying to do? We're going to start brand new now, and if you do this, I'm going to put a corral around this, and I'm going to paint it, and it's going to be done this way. And the inference was, if you don't follow this now, we're going to tear you limb from limb and take your house down and shoot your dog. Was that the same? He didn't change, but he was trying to control something else. Is that clear? And Virgil Walker is a man of God. You ought to look up some of his quotes in social media. Our circumstances don't require new programs. They don't require new policies. But this moment right now for us as believers is to know our Bibles. Why do we do this? So that we would know our Bibles. Why do we gather? So we will know our Bibles. Why do we read the stories we know over again? But ask God to show you a new wrinkle, a new word, a new revelation. You'll see things that you've read over for years. Every one of us have had those things that we've read a familiar passage, but God touches us at a certain time. Have you ever said to God, when did you put that in there? And when did you sneak that in? But it has been there all along. But there, when we are weak, when we're weary, and we need that thing to touch our bodies and to go through us that we can feel it right now. We need the word of God. Why do we remember the boys? We need, God said to do it, but it'll keep you strong. It'll keep you strong, even in the fire. More insight. I told you the word was in them. What kind of word was in it? The prophetic word. You know they had been educated in the covenant. You know that because remember 2 weeks ago when he told his chief of staff to pick some young men, and then the assignment was to re-educate them. Is that scary? To re-educate them. Any parallels in the world today? To re-educate them. So that means there was something already in them, but the boys were too far gone in the covenant. And you could dress them up, you could give them a new job, you give them a new title, feed them the best food. But that thing, that gnawing, some of the things that people are feeling right now is that gnawing of the thing that was implanted them as children, and that frustrates. There's a conflict going on. What were they reading? I think they might have been reading a classic text. The classic text that you've heard, in fact, I read just a portion of it last week. The classic text comes today to build faith and courage as we are confronted, as we are intimidated, as we might get paralyzed, as we are discouraged. See, I believe that history would really, and I think I'm on solid ground today, that the boys were steeped in the covenant word of the forefathers of covenant. About 150 years before those boys came on the scene, in about 530 BC, somewhere in that ballpark, that's when probably Daniel was written. The book of Isaiah had been written about over 200 years before. And it's so rich. And when I left you last week, I only used the one word about the fire to get you jazzed up. But let's look at it right here at verse 1, 43 verses 1 and 2. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord. Now, why am I reading this? This is likely what was in the boys' foundation and heritage to help them when they faced the war. You got it? This likely was the, see, the thing that is inside, I'm going to deal with that a little bit more next week. The thing that was inside of them was the thing that enabled them. He says, listen to the Lord. Now, notice these action words. The Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, the one who ransomed you. He said, I have called you by name. You are mine. And then I read this verse last week to you. And notice I have done these things. But notice here, the winds are starting now. And I don't mean the winds, but I mean the W-H-E-N, the winds start. When, now I'm not wild about that line. Yeah, I would rather if. But when you go through deep waters, God said in verse 2, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. First off, let's take the first verse of the action words there. Notice the four action words. He created, he formed, he ransomed, he called. I love the ransomed. I love, you know the ransom is a buyback. The ransom is a buyback. The ransom is a buyback. Linda's been kidnapped, and they're going to call me. And they're going to say, if you want her back, it's going to cost you this. And I'd have to give that to get her back. Did you ever hear the story about the detective called the man, and he said, sir, are you so-and-so? Yes, is your wife so-and-so? He said, well, we have found her, the man who stole her purse and her credit cards. But apparently this happened about 4 weeks ago. Did you report this? He said, no, he was spending less than she was, so I just figured it was okay. But whatever it is, I'd pay the ransom to get her back. I hope she'd get it for me also. You'd do that, wouldn't you? You're so cute. One other word of the ransom also is the vision of being snatched out of a fire, pulled back, brought back. And that's what happened to those boys. They were there. The power of God pulled them out of that. Created, formed. Why do we read these words? Because sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, Troy, you need to remind yourself that God created you. He formed you. Richard, you need to remember sometime he ransomed you out of everybody else around you. Roy, you need to remember he called you. Psalm 36, 24, from the God's Word translation. It's a newer translation, kind of fun. It said, he snatched us from the grasp of our enemies. He snatched us from the grasp of our enemies, and his mercy endures forever. We sang, Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. He's actively involved in the thing that concerns me. He was actively concerned about the things that involve the boys. Remember the boys. So I'm on strong theological ground when I say to you as covenant brothers and sisters, the God whom we serve is still well able. Because he's my Father. Matthew 7:11 in the New Living says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask for him? If you've ever had kids, you know you've given them things that you couldn't afford, but you wanted to do it. You wanted to see their face. I mean, when Jeff was born, he was little and everything. I came home with some of those black and red and white Air Jordans for little kids. It was a lot of money back in those days. And she said, how much you spend on that? Don't worry about it. It was a whole meal out somewhere, more than that. And I didn't know that the crazy boy, and 2 weeks later, his foot was going to be over here, you know. But at least we had him for a while. Luke 12 says it this way, verse 27. Remember this, y'all. Consider the lilies. Now, this is Jesus trying to change the focus. When we're overwhelmed and fearful and afraid, Jesus is doing an intentional focus misdirection to get off of what they're going through right now. He said, all right, let's just go to the lowest form. You consider look at the lilies. Look at the lilies. Look at them. I don't want to look at the lilies. I'm hurting. I'm not feeling good. Just look at the lilies here. And he's saying, he's helping to change their focus to let them know that he's got everything. He said, look how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. How many have been toiling and spinning this week? I left you last week and I was on fire. I was hitting on all eight cylinders. I was doing it. But I got to tell you a couple times, I've toiled and I've spinned. I have spun almost out. I have spun. I've been like the cartoon characters. Oh, me. Oh, my. Remember that cartoon? Oh, my. Oh, my. My. I've done that. Tried to be cool about it, but I have felt those things right now. But they don't toil. They don't spin. And he said, I'm going to say to you, son, that even Solomon, who had everything and the richest guy on the planet, in all the glory, all of his glory, he was not even arrayed like one of these because I took care of them. So let's bring it in a little bit closer. He created, he formed, he ransomed, he called. But let's go closer. Let's get even personal when I look back and read this whole passage. And I'm going to pick the three points that jump out to me the most. Where he says, I've called you by name. I called your name. They tell us that we love the sound of our name. We're created that way. That when we hear our name, there's a safety there. That is an identity there. It's very important to give good names. But there's something about us that like to hear our name called. But when you see somebody and they remember your name, and I have a hard time with names sometimes, especially out of certain environments, and we all do. But we love that when somebody calls our name. When the baby says dad, when the baby says that feels good. But if I can hear my name called, and I know the whole temperature. I know where everything. I can hear my name called, and I got the whole story right there. I just hear my name called. And when you were kids, when your mom called you, you by the sound of your name, you knew how things were at that point in time. Is that true with anybody or just me? Sure, it was. You're looking at me like you. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you. You helped me. We know when we hear the name, it feels good when somebody, but can you imagine when God calls your name? Yeah, when God calls your name, Samuel, well, Eli's calling me. No, son, go back. Samuel, when God calls your name. Something happens to the person even that calls the name because there will be a connecting in the response there. You know, I love some of those old country lyrics, those old country songs, those old sad songs. You know, one of the country songs, old Vince Gill's talking about, he's come home and nobody's at the house anymore. And he says, the lonely nights hear my voice calling is driving me insane. And just like rain, my tears keep falling. Because nobody answers when I call your name. That's sad stuff right there. But you know what? Even if you're alone, there's somebody who knows your name. Knows your name. Have you ever been in a situation where there was a list and you wanted to make sure you were on a list? Maybe a reservation, or maybe it was a concert, or maybe it was something and you went somewhere and they said somebody's leaving something for you and your name and you've got that moment there where you're wondering, is my name there? Is my name there? And they go, oh yeah, here it is. And there's something that happens and you're Michael. Yeah, show me. I have access then. When he said, I've called you by name, I think the boys knew that because of what they'd been taught. The indoctrination didn't take. I love that. Jeremiah, I write it for kids a lot of times. Before I knew you, I formed you in your mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet. Psalm 139:13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. That he knows your name. It's another thing to know somebody's name, but the next personal word for me was, that I think was a personal word for the boys, he said, and you're mine. You're mine. You are mine. When we were younger, contemporary Christian music is a lot different than it was then. And I remember we used to sing a song that was just a cute little ditty, but it's a lyric that I've remembered all of my life. And the line says, I belong to the God of the mountains. I belong to the God of the seas. I belong to the God of the universe. And the hook line was, but he belongs to me. Isn't that a great line there? Isn't that a good line? I belong to the God of the mountains. Drive that when you're driving over the water. I belong to the God who owns the sea. He made those things. But he is God of the universe, and he loves and knows my name. 1 Corinthians, he told the church in verse 3, chapter 3, you belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. So notice the divine connection. Ephesians 2, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Man, that's tough. Isn't that great? Those are two good truths if you're going to get ready to get hit in a fire. How about the third one? And I will be with you. I think the boys knew this. That's one of those, come on, you can do this moments. I'm going to be right here with you. You've been afraid to do something? Somebody, hey, walk me through this. Be with me. I'll go with you. We'll do this together. We'll walk through it. Especially when kids are little. Yeah, I'm afraid. Well, come on, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you right now. I'm going to go down that water slide with you. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to ride this ride with you. I'll be with you. I think what great words there. Deuteronomy 31:8, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail nor will he abandon you. That's 31:8. We read that a couple times last year. That's kind of fitting that it's closing in the book of Deuteronomy. Well, let's go to the last words, closing of Matthew, where Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you. Be sure of this, because I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. We hook and jump up and down on I'll be with you, but the line before says, and be sure of this. We remember the boys. Were they sure? Did they have all the answers? No. Was there natural? Yes. I think it's wrong to tell this story that they went prancing in. No. I think there was a solemn spirit, and there was some natural things because you're human. Don't ever think that. But it's the mindset of the long haul, the long run, the end result. He is going to be with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. Remember Jesus' words? I read those already in 43. I read those in 43 already. How strong would that be? Here's what I wrote to remind myself to say. Although the words walk by faith and not by sight were hundreds of years before being written, although the words of walk by faith not but were not even written yet, it was already in them. They were already living it. They knew it. First, it was by faith, and then it was by experience. That's where we are at our points in times. You need to look at points in times where it was by faith that you walked through something, and on the other side of it, it was also then by experience that you can say, I can say like David, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Okay, so I read verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 43. The third verse says it here. He said, for I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. I told you about the end game. We know where we're going. We have this. When we remember the boys, we need to remember the suffering that we might be walking through. Now, Never, don't ever walk away when I give you words like thinking that I'm expecting you to be idle and to be run over and to be submissive to foolishness out there. It is with an indignance that you see they stood up. They stood up and said, "We do not do this. If you do this, God will do it. But if he doesn't," that's the message next week. But if he doesn't, he's going to do it. They noticed that there was not a foolishness going on there. Timothy Keller wrote it this way, and he's gone through a lot of suffering the last few years. He said, suffering is unbearable if you weren't certain that God is for you and that God is with you. Is that a good word there? It would be unbearable. You know, somebody said one day, if men had babies, they'd only be one-child families. We wouldn't forget that moment. But a lot of you got in that moment and said, "Oh my God, this is, you know, we're not going to do this again." And 2 years later, there we did it again. There it was. It popped out. Did it again. But in that pain, there was a memory of something down the road. And the further we got from that, we knew that was a difficult passage to go through. But the Lord has blessed. The Lord has given. The Lord has supplied. And when I think the hook for me, when I remember the boys, I remember the suffering, I remember the attack on them, I remember their courage, I remember the fact that they're real boys. They weren't supermen. They walked through, but there was something inside of them. I say this: remember the word, remember the boys, remember their God is your God too. So I speak courage to you. When a spirit of intimidation, when a spirit of manipulation that is gaining steam in this age. We can get faith from the furnace when we're reminding ourselves of the boys and how they walked. But the faith is really strong when we remember the God whom we serve is well able to take us through the fire again. Next week, we're going to pick up about our mindset in the last one of these four messages. And the message is going to be called, have you ever made a pronouncement? I decree it. I speak it. The Bible said we should do it. But have you ever made, I'm drawing the line right there, and then a little bit later we found us, I'm drawing another line now. We've all done those things, right? The message next week is called, but even if. But even if. Read these boys again. I hope I haven't scared you too much today. But I'm here to tell you he will be with you through the fire again. Let's all stand in Jesus' name. Let's all stand in Jesus' name. Father, we call on you right now. We thank you. I want to honor those boys. I want to honor the faith of those boys. I want to honor the faith of those boys. I want to honor what they did for us, the story that they've left us forever, the legacy they've left us forever. The day will come where I'll be able to walk up and meet all three of them and say, you just don't know. And I won't even be able to finish the sentence because I will be so moved when I see the courage and I actually see what went on there. Father, thank you for giving us the advice of good people. Thank you for giving us the example of good people. But thank you also for giving us the power of the Word of God that sustained those people in their dark hours. It's not them, it's the word that was in them. We love you, Jesus. We call and take just a moment, and every one of us are facing a fire of some sort. And I'm just believing the word of God that they spoke, that they knew that was written hundreds of years before they even spoke the word. The God we serve will be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Father, touch each one. Minister to each one in Jesus' name.